Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday Toolhouse Tool Day for Toolhouse. And today I have the privilege of having a guest speaker, Lorena Edwards. And we share the same last name. How fun. So she actually stumbled upon my podcast, and her and I have been chatting. And she does a lot of great work with helping children and adults and people of all ages to develop really healthy speech and language skills and habits and all the things that go along with that. And so she works with a company called Better Speech. I am going to invite her to introduce herself, share a little bit about herself and then the company. And then we're really gonna focus today on 0 to 3 language development skills and where what parents should know, what they can be looking for, what they can be expecting, and then how to reach out for help if they feel like, you know, maybe there's something, you know, a little off with the timeline of language development. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So nice to meet you today.
It's so nice to spend time with you, Sean. Thank you so much for having me. And I know we both had a great Thanksgiving, so that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So my name is Lenora Edwards, and I work for a company called Better Speech, and we are actually an online speech therapy company where we actually have more than 150 speech language pathologists that are all board certified and licensed in different states, but we are also internationally based, so that's pretty cool.
Great. And so how, what interested you, or, you know, what was the hook for you to be able to like move into this line of work and career?
Being able to be online and to be able to provide services to so many people is such an absolute blessing, especially because speech therapy services aren't always available close to your home physically. But, you know, we have a lot of people who live in rural areas and they don't always have the time to travel 45 minutes to an hour to the nearest clinic. So the fact that we are right there online in the comfort of your home, and we're a massive time saver on the traveling component, but we also get to see people in the comfort of their own home, and that's where children are the most comfortable. So, you know, if they had to go out to a clinic, you're changing their setting and they might not always be the most comfortable when they're doing that. But with Better Speech, because we're online and we're right there, we have a massive response in being able to help people more, but also seeing that progress in little ones, improving their communication skills, but also adults. We do it with adults too.
I love that. So I just recently moved. I moved from San Diego to the Austin area in 2020. And then we were renting a house close to Austin. And now we are actually in between Austin and Waco. And so we are semi-rural, I feel. And yeah, driving 25 minutes to do much of anything is, you know, if you have an appointment and then you have the grocery store and then you have, you know, take your dog to the vet, you know, you could spend your whole day in the car. So
you really could. Absolutely.
I'm sure people love that level of convenience. So I just want to talk a little bit about, or invite you to share a little bit about what I know, or what in Montessori, about children between the ages of 0 and 6. And 0 to 3 is obviously the beginning of that, which is super, super important, is, you know, the connection to the real world and reality and being able to keep their routine, you know, lots of consistency and routine and order in their scheduling so that they see the world as a very safe place and predictable. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, how often do you meet with them? Is it, how do you keep their interest on the screen? Because I know that can be challenging, obviously, as a head of school when we had shut down for COVID. We did try with infant and toddlers to do a virtual school, and it was a little challenging. So we kind of just went with group time, singing, and then lots of arts and craft kinds of things that we would send to the parents, some tools that we would send to them so they could use that. So yeah, what kind of, how do you engage them and keep them engaged?
Absolutely. That's such a great question, especially with little ones, because they are so creative and they love to keep moving and moving. We have an amazing platform where we are able to engage little ones with games, and they're able to actually remote controlling, because we use Zoom as a platform, and they're able to help, and their parents are able to help play those games and have that interactive fun. And I love that because we actually can show them that electronics, sometimes they get a bad rap that, adults will often say, oh, I'm being bad, I'm on my phone. But it's also really important to show children that electronics can be used for good, and they are for education. Purposefully. And purposefully, absolutely. Because electronics aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So it's really important that we show them the good in electronics. And also, they also get to have this great time where, you know, I'll always encourage parents to have a space to practice when you have speech time, because speech time is different than couch time. So when you have a corner, or when you have that routine structure built in for them, they know what to expect, and they know that it's predictable and that it is safe when they go and go on the electronics and interact with us. So that's a really, really great thing. And we do also do a lot of parent and teacher coaching. So parent as in the parent of the child, but teacher as in I'm a speech coach, I'm a speech teacher, I'm a speech language pathologist. We get all sorts of different names, but we're able to be there and support the parents, because we often get about, typically I recommend probably 1 to 2 visits a week. Sometimes it's 30 minutes at a time, depending on what the need of that child. But let's just go with one time a week for 30 minutes. I'm only there one time a week for 30 minutes, but parents know their children best. And it's really important to be able to offer functional techniques and functional approaches and building them into their day, because to ask parents to sit down and have another whole routine for speech time is a lot, are already on a very busy schedule and already on a very busy life. Mm-hmm. So we like to be there to be able to say, this is how you can make it functional. And especially the fact that we are already in their home, they can show us around their home, they can show us their kitchen, they can show us their toy room, and we can make it functional and offer those techniques and approaches for them, which is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And the home is great. That's where it all starts, right? Mm-hmm. And in Montessori, we do a lot of coaching on preparing the home environment for that 0 to 3 child who is unconscious, you know, and they're, you know, they're unconscious learners at that point. So they're just going about and exploring. And that's how they kind of, you know, gain information about the world and receive messages about, you know, the safety of the world and the predictability of the world. And so setting up an environment where they can explore instead of saying that's safe, and prepare for them so they can reach things independently and so on and so forth, instead of saying, no, don't touch that, or don't go over here, or you can only stay over here. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's really, really important. And in terms of language development, what we coach parents in Montessori is, you know, you don't have to teach them the ABCs and yes, read to them, because they love that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, just talk to them, you know, and sports cast, especially when they're really young, like you're carrying them around and you're telling them, we're going to go to the changing table now. Now I'm going to put you on here, you know, so you're telling them what's going on, and you're also giving them a sense of orientation to the world and a sense of belonging and significance.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I love the Montessori approach completely. Yeah, sense that you're there, they're significant, they're seen, they're heard.
And so then, of course, it goes into like the sandpaper letters, you know, as they get a little bit older, and then showing them that there are sounds and putting sounds together. So what, my question to you is, what suggestions, we would give those suggestions as coaching, you know, the sports casting, what other suggestions do you have for parents for the 0 to 3 age?
Completely. And I love the sports casting. So very specifically, when I share with a lot of parents, and adults, once they know that they're pregnant, to keep talking, just feel the need to keep talking, because what you're doing, especially once that baby comes into the world and they're born and they're here, they have no understanding of the world. This is completely new to them, and there's no information. There's nothing for them. There's no filing cabinet of information for them to look at for themselves. Right. So as they're going around and exploring, and I love that Montessori approach of really offering that safety and that exploration, because that's so important, because they are learning through exploration, but they're also learning through language. And it's absolutely so, so important to keep talking to your children, because what you're doing is you're offering them incredible foundational information for the rest of their lives, especially in that early component. Their mind and body is growing, especially that language component of the brain is pulling in so much information, and it's so important that we keep offering information. So I do love the nursery rhymes and absolutely reading to your little one, but also talking to them and sportscasting. What you had mentioned, I often refer to as narrating, because you need to tell them what they're doing and to communicate in a tone. So I can communicate in a very flat tone and keep doing this, but with our tone, what we're actually sharing with them is our emotion and how we communicate and how we ask a question or how we end a sentence.
Yeah.
And we're communicating so much information as we're talking. But also, I love to encourage people to talk face to face, because 70% of our communication is nonverbal. So when you're talking face to face, you're actually sharing with your little one all this emotional information, all this critical, critical information.
Emotional intelligence.
Absolutely. Yes. How to understand emotion, what's being conveyed, so that they can learn to understand what loving looks like, and they can learn to understand what sad looks like, and all these emotions that we have. To keep talking to your children, especially when you're doing routines, because you're offering them important information that is foundational and that they can predict. And when you pick them up, you tell them there, we're going to pick you up and we're going to put you in the crib and we're going to cover you. And it might seem excessive, but quite honestly, they don't know this information. And it's up to us as the parents, the caregivers, the guardians to offer this information so that they do know. And their little minds, they love repetition. Love repetition. So to keep talking.
And I love that you say that too, because it's also respecting their intellect. Like I think a lot of times people think that babies are, you know, just kind of this little being smart that doesn't have much going on, and they do, you know,
they're
like
so
those
smart.
Yes, from the very first time they come out with the eyes and, you know, that's why we are designed to kind of breastfeed, because, you know, then we can make those eye connections so
absolutely
nicely. And that bonding is so important.
It is so important.
Yes, like it's respectful to let people know what you're doing with their bodies, right? Even though they're teeny tiny.
Completely.
And they could be easy manipulated. We're going to go here, do this. We're going to, you know, make lunch now. So that's great. So what should we be looking for in that's 0 to 3, you know, in
absolutely
terms of language development? Like obviously the receptive language is a lot of what we talked about just now. The child is taking information in and learning that language is communication and a way to interact with people and understand the world. Well, what should we be expecting from children, and at what age?
So that's a great question, especially because children are learning and they're learning so quickly. So when you had mentioned about the eye contact, children are actually learning, and we have technology that has been able to share with us that as early as 4 months, little ones are focused on our eyes. And then as they get into 8 and 10 months old, they're actually focused on our mouth. So they're watching the shape of our mouth. They're watching what we're doing as we're talking. And then as they go into 1 year, they go back to the eyes. And children are so intelligent that they can actually distinguish between the sounds of two different languages that are in the home.
Oh yeah.
Because their exposure to it, which is great. Also, as we're talking to them, we are offering the attention and the joint attention and the turn taking, which is really, really important. So when that they do go to start playing with toys and really engaging, ideally what you want to see is your little one at 10 months and 12 months looking at a toy, but also looking back to you and also wanting you to be engaged in it. And they'll look to you to respond to them. Another great thing that they'll also do is as you're talking to them, they're going to start very early on, even from birth to 3 months, you're going to hear them cooing and you're going to hear them making noises. This is them learning their ability to communicate, and starts that early. And then we even have coos and babbles and a bit more as they continue to grow. So 4 to 6 months and moving forward. And what they're actually exploring is the sounds that they make. They're looking to see if you're responding. And then they start to understand, if I cry, I get this. But if I make this sound, I get this. And they're starting to understand that turn taking, and that they have the ability to communicate, and that you're responding to them, which is a great thing. That's encouraging their communication. That's showing them that they're seen, they're heard, that they're important, that they matter. So typically by the first year, you're going to start to hear, most often you'll hear almost their first word or an approximation of their first word, which is very, very exciting. And then as they continue to grow from 18 months to 24 months, you're going to see this massive language explosion from these strings of vowels of ah and bum. You're going to start to hear more and more building, which is great because as they're playing with that component, they're actually learning what they can do and they're learning what they have the ability to continue to build upon. So rather than just ma, you're going to start to hear mama or papa. And then you'll eventually hear no or more. And then once you start to hear those single words, you're going to start to hear two combinations. So more please, their approximation for that, or bye-bye. And that's building on top of itself, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because what they're showing you is they understand the world and they are wanting to communicate. A lot of the time, especially when we're very, very nurturing, we can anticipate their wants and needs, but it's important for us to have that hold and pause to allow them to communicate. Mm-hmm. So I like to offer parents, you know, especially if their 1 or 2 year old doesn't seem to be making a lot of attempts to communicate, I'll encourage them to offer opportunities to communicate.
Oh, that's great.
When you give them a little bit in their cup, don't fill it up entirely.
Yes.
As you anticipated, fill it up a little bit and give them the opportunity to communicate to you. Mm-hmm. Hello, I'd like more, please. Or break up their routine. So when you put them in the tub, they're expecting water to come out. But if you anticipate that and you turn it on automatically, you're not offering that opportunity for them to communicate. So you place them in the tub and then they're going to look at you going, hello, water.
What am I supposed to be doing here?
Yeah, exactly. And that's showing them that they know that routine and that they're expecting something, but you've now also created that opportunity for them to.
I love that. I love that because in Montessori, we talk about fostering independence. And, you know, fostering independence is allowing them to be independent with tasks that they can be, you know, without abandoning them and expecting them to do things that they can't do.
Completely.
But it also feeds their sense of capability, you know, and then it starts to develop that sense of personal power, which we all want on a healthy level. And we all want for our children on a healthy level. And I do find that as, you know, as I've been in Montessori for 35 years, as time has progressed, that parents tend to want to do, you know, I would say that it's more recent than it was years ago, but people just seem to be busier. So I think that there's a lot of doing for children. And I think that we have a tendency to want to rush and dress them and, you know, put them into the car without letting them walk or make their lunch the night before so they have no idea what's even in there, you know, when they get to school, things like that.
Yeah.
So especially I love that you said that, giving them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because yes, if you're talking for them all the time and you're doing things for them all the time, what is the initiative, you know, what's the incentive to want to be able to communicate or ask for anything? So I love that you shared that.
I love that you mentioned about having power because we're often telling them what to do, where to go, how quickly to move, which is absolutely true and unfortunate. So we do have to find that opportunity to pause and allow them to have that power. So a lot of the time I'll encourage parents to have them make silly decisions. Do you want this fork or this fork?
Yes.
Do you want this blue cup or this blue cup? We know that they're the same, but when they have the opportunity to make that choice, they go, oh, I get to make a decision. They get to matter.
Right.
I get to choose.
Yes.
And really offering them that power.
And asking them questions instead of telling them what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what do we do after we put our socks on? Oh, yeah, we put it. And then they start walking towards the shoes.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives them the opportunity to, and it helps develop their critical thinking skills as well.
Completely.
Instead of just like, you know, sharing statements and kind of barking at them and ordering them around, which, you know, we've all done as parents, you know, when we get really super busy. But once you're aware of it, you're less likely to do it and more inclined to want to, you know, foster, like you were just talking about, that sense of personal power. And then that's the whole kind of pathway to self-management, self-regulation, which is going to really serve them well as they get older and when they're ready to take in information and be in a big class of like 24 children. You know, when they're 3 and know how to be safe and walk across the classroom and, and ask for what they want and indicate and communicate, even if they can't, if their spoken language development skills aren't great, they can communicate in one way, shape or form what it is that they want or need.
I love
go ahead.
I love that you pointed out about that critical thinking component, because when we do offer electronics as a passive way of interacting and like, oh, we'll just sit down and watch a TV show, it's very receptive and they're just absorbing this information. Mm-hmm. They don't actually have to think about the information. Whereas when you break up their routine, like, oh, what do we do after our socks go on? Where do we go? Asking them that question and having that back and forth is so fantastic, because that is building their thinking skills and it's building those pathways, those neuro pathways on how to solve my own problems and what comes next. And it helps them understand routine, especially when, you know, when you go to grab your keys and your coat and mom's saying, okay, they know just by watching you grab your keys and your coat, they're expecting, oh, time to go. That is that routine. That is that that reinforcement of interaction in their environment, and that they know what to do next. Oh, I better go get my shoes. And being able to follow through that back and forth and that social communication is so important. And it does get missed when only passive electronics are offered.
Yes. And that's something in Montessori that we discourage families from having a lot of screen time with their children. Because we do see it as a passive activity where they're just being entertained and they're being, you know, fed to some degree. I'm sure there are some good things that come out of it, but their brains really need to be active and they need to be engaged and manipulative and participatory, you know, in their development.
Completely.
I love that you're doing this a lot, like, you know, you're offering virtual classes, and yet they're not, you know, they're not just cartoons running around the screen that are entertaining them. It's a way to engage them in a purposeful way with technology. So they see technology not as a means of entertainment, but as a tool.
Completely. And what they're actually,
for human development.
There's actually research coming out that prolonged periods of passive electronic use, so prolonged periods of TV or video games, is actually resulting in smaller development of the brain.
Which I believe it
is a very concerning component. So it's really important that us as the parents and the caregivers are aware of when it's being presented and for the length of time that it's being presented. So like you and I, absolutely, we're having a back and forth. If we were watching a TV show, that's a completely different story. And people can get lost in that time frame. And what's happening, and people think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Repetition of that for prolonged periods of time is a big deal. And that's what we're seeing, is that smaller brain development.
Yeah. And also, you know, I've seen this in Montessori too, all of that electronic, you know, children on phones and tablets or whatever you call them, which, you know, we didn't have 20 years ago for our children. Their attention spans are shorter.
Oh yeah.
Their ability to focus and concentrate and stay engaged in a like Montessori lesson per se, you know, for an example, is challenging because they are so used to being entertained, and these Montessori materials that are so beautiful and that can teach them so many things and develop their, you know, their understanding of whatever the concept is, but also their ability to develop fine motor skills, focus, concentrate, all of the, indirect preparation, you know, skills that are there are not as interesting to the children anymore. You know, they're beautiful and they would, you know, 20 years ago call to the children, and the children would want to manipulate them. Now they're like, okay, entertain me. So I'm glad that you said that. I know we're getting off a little task a little bit, but yeah, you want to use electronics for purposeful activity.
Yes.
And I love the fact that the mom or the dad or the whole, you know, the parents are there with the child.
Yes.
Because the message you're giving to a child when you just hand them a phone or an iPad is, I'm too busy to interact with you right now, so you can do this.
Absolutely. And people, I think even adults, they accept it. They don't, oh, this is just how things are right now. But that's what we're teaching. And that's not something we want to teach. We want children to know that they matter and that they're seen and that they communicate and they have this back and forth. Absolutely. And we see a lot of the time when parents are involved, that's a great thing about Better Speech, is because we're online and we're in the comfort of your home, parents get to be there, or grandparents get to be there, or whomever is at home at the time gets to be there and gets to be a part of that lesson. And then the child understands even more so that they are seen, they are heard, they matter, they're important. Whereas sometimes if you go to a clinic or with school speech therapy, we don't get that interaction with the parent, and we don't get, or the guardian, whomever it may be. And because of that, there is a missing component. So it's really important that children understand that this is a cohesive, it's your family, that they're there to support you and help you. And it gets reinforced throughout their lifetime, which is a great thing, because then that's how those emotional bonds build, and right. that they're connected, and that you have these strong family foundations and values that are really important to everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, after the COVID shutdown and children started mm-hmm. returning, I had a school for years. They started returning to school. We saw a decline in terms of comparison of children pre-COVID versus post-COVID in their fine motor development, their gross motor development, and their language. Do you see a connection between all of those three things?
Absolutely. We're actually seeing a lot more need for speech therapy services. There was one that said it was on BBC America, and it was that the rate was up 80%. Compared to the last year of the need for speech therapy, because what happened when they were at home, and it was stressful for the parents too, the guardians, they had no idea what was going on. None of us did.
And they had to work
and be teacher and be cook and be parent at the same time. And that was incredibly stressful. And what we're actually seeing is also with in some households, you know, they were wearing masks, especially if you had people in the medical community, they were wearing masks around their children. And so children missed out on the socialization. They missed out on this facial communication, but also this emotional communication, because people were so scared, and completely understandably. But because of that, we're seeing a lot of social communication difficulties, as well as speech and language communication difficulties.
Right. And do you see a connection with like in terms of their overall development? So they're developing their gross motor skills, their fine motor skills, and their language skills. Like in Montessori, we talk about, from the zero to six age range, language development is one of their sensitive periods. Mm-hmm. And so is movement. Mm-hmm. Right. So do you see that there's a connection? I mean, do you also see that some of these children that are having speech delays now mm-hmm. are also having some fine motor and gross motor lags?
Absolutely. Especially if they're out on the playground, or sometimes parents will send me videos of what they're doing. And because they're not, we kind of know those general markers as a speech language pathologist. It's not that I know everything a physical therapist or an occupational right. therapist knows. I know the general information, and we're seeing that coordination and that difficulty of organizing through that process is definitely a bit behind. Yeah, and it's, you know, they all do work together. It's not solely because they have gross, they'll also have fine motor, or because they have fine motor, they're missing speech. It's not always the case, but right. there are common threads for sure.
Right. And I think the reason why I was kind of inviting you to share about that is I know that a lot of children during COVID were, and this is, I understand as a busy mm-hmm. parent, you know, you kind of have to, you know, you have to work and survive and get mm-hmm. things done. And, you know, but I think children were in their high chairs a lot watching TV and, you know, things like that. And so not allowing them to engage in the world, or, you know, inhibiting them from, you know, actively engaging mm-hmm. in the world, I think can stunt, you know, all their fine and gross motor skills, and certainly their language skills. Because what are they going to be talking about?
Completely.
You know, if they're not engaged in the world. No. Go ahead.
I would say, you know, if any parent or guardian has concerns, it's not too late. And it's not something like, oh, well, I shouldn't explore getting them help because they won't catch up, whatever. That's not the case at all. If you have concerns, absolutely reach out to professionals. I know at Better Speech, we offer a free 15-minute consultation where if you have questions, you can speak directly with a speech language pathologist, and we can better guide you if therapy services may be appropriate. And a nice thing is that if you have concerns, sometimes you go to a clinic and you're waiting 6 months just to work with a clinician. Mm-hmm. Here we get to match you the very next day, and you're able to engage with the clinician, ask your questions. You can pay by session or you can pay by the month. Yeah. But they also, we also provide a bill so that you can communicate with your insurance company to ensure that those services are provided and covered on your insurance plan. So if there is a concern, time is of the essence. Reach out to us. I mean, you can reach mm-hmm. out to us at betterspeech.com or reach out to another professional if it's a physical therapy component, but absolutely reach out to professionals.
Yeah. And I think the earlier, the better.
Absolutely.
And so if they're not babbling, you know, in the first few months, if they're not kind of exploring the enunciation of a mm-hmm. word by the time they're one, stringing yeah. together 2 to 3 words by the time they're two, mm-hmm. and actively engaging in communication at least, right? Like letting you know what they need or want in some way, shape, or form. That's when maybe somebody might want to reach out if completely. They're not doing those things. Okay.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that they should be looking, that parents or caregivers should be looking for specifically so that they know, oh gosh, this isn't just a child being, you know, wanting to own that mm-hmm. personal power yeah. and they can talk, but they don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, what's.
I would say if you have questions or if you're listening to your instincts and going, something just isn't quite right, definitely listen to your instincts, but also look at other children. What are they doing? And mm-hmm. you know what, if something isn't quite right, it might not be, but that's mm-hmm. why we're here, because we can actually be able to work with you and let you know, oh, okay, things are looking really good. You guys are right on target. Or no, we would recommend speech therapy services. And either way, you'll get an answer. And it's better to know than to wait 3 months and keep prolonging it and have the situation get any worse.
Yeah. And you offer that free 15-minute mm-hmm. consultation. So it's yeah. a great opportunity to kind of chat with you,
yeah.
You know, let you know what's going on and then follow your recommendations.
Absolutely.
All right. So how can people get a hold of you?
That is a great question. You can visit us at betterspeech.com. And you'll have a pop-up right there that'll say, hey, would you like your free 15-minute consultation? Or follow us on social media. We're on YouTube, Facebook, all those good things. And I will definitely make sure that you have them for your show notes. So if you have questions, awesome. Reach out to us at betterspeech.com and we will be able to help you from there.
Yes. I love our shared vision of, you know, helping children develop healthy language skills. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, you know, the receptive language first, and then the ability to communicate, oh my gosh, you know, makes their life so much more joyful completely. And so much more purposeful. And then it also, it does, you know, in a Montessori context, it does feed that, that sense of independence, that fostering of independence, because it frees them, you mm-hmm. know, in terms of their ability to communicate, ask questions, and gain information and just be, have that ability to joyfully engage in the world.
Completely. So, and it's so critical and so foundational.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this session, and I hope people will reach out to you and ask questions.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.